This is just by way of a quick recap on what we've been talking about. Because we've been talking about the pattern of the tabernacle in the wilderness. Now, just for the sake of a little bit of history, just to put this back into context, we're going back to a period maybe 3,000 years ago when this world was a sparsely populated place. The children of Israel had been held prisoner, captive slaves in Egypt for 400 years. Then the events of the very first Passover took place when Moses said to Pharaoh, or God said to Pharaoh through Moses really, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh said no. But in the end, God's people left Egypt and traveled into the wilderness. And there they became a nation. So the 12 sons of Jacob, who became Israel, became the 12 tribes of Israel, and Israel became a nation. And this was really formed during this time in the wilderness. And they were a people who worshipped God. Moses was their leader. Moses was their priest. They didn't always get it right. In fact, they failed miserably during that time. But you see, God was with them. They were a traveling people. They didn't have a home. They didn't have a city. They traveled through the desert. And the focus of their encampment when they stopped was this tabernacle. And the tabernacle was a thing that God gave to Moses, said, "Build it this way. Build it absolutely this way." He gave huge detailed instructions how to build this tent. Are we working on it? It'll come up in a minute. And do you know, I was thinking about New Day, you guys from New Day. You know, the center part piece of the tabernacle is a tent. And actually, the tabernacle of Moses was not that much bigger. You know your big white marquee you had at New Day? It was actually not much bigger than that. And do you know, the amazing thing is that that camp at New Day, big as it is, was a lot smaller than the camp the nation of Israel made when they camped. And they simply upped and moved. And I don't know how the areas work out, but the area of the wilderness is possibly not much bigger than Norfolk. I don't know. Am I about right? Is it in the right sort of area? So if you imagine this people, imagine New Day, imagine picking up your tents, moving to another part of Norfolk, because there was nobody living there then. But it was that, they were people who moved. But at the heart of their life was the tabernacle. And the tabernacle, God said he would give them the tabernacle because he would dwell with them. And so God would be present with them. And that's a little bit of the history and the background to this tabernacle. So it was very unusual. It was an amazing physical location, an amazing place where God filled the temple. There was light at night. There was fire at night. There was a cloud during the day. God's presence was here in this place. And it's so direct to us because we aspire to be a people who, when we gather together, we are living stones. We form, if you like, a living tabernacle. And our heart and our aspiration is that God should so dwell with us that we're changed. We're not the same people again. So here we are. So I spoke about having a fence around the outside with curtains. We spoke about the gates, entering his gates. We spoke about the altar where the sacrifices were made. And do you remember, you go in through the gates, and there in a straight line, if you like, in front of you is the altar of sacrifice, the great lava of washing, and then the entrance to the holy place. And the only people who could go into the holy place were the priests. The normal people of Israel could go into the outer courts, but no further. This was God's place. They were separated from that place. And that was the priestly Levitical service of the children of Israel, was to go into the Holy of Holies. And we talk about three things inside. Should we go on to the next slide? We talked about there being a table of showbread, and we talked about that, the bread of life, how important it is to get hold of God's word, so it's the bread of life. We talked about a candlestick of gold, that amazing candlestick, which lit up the whole place. So the whole place was lined with gold. The place thing would have been a thing of beauty, a thing of glittering, amazing majesty. And then the altar of incense. And we liken that to our prayers. Jesus, the light of the world. But Jesus, our life too, through the way we pray and offer ourselves to him. Should we go forward? So we've got the candlestick of gold. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. When the candlestick was out, in that place there was no light. And it's so in our lives, isn't it? When Jesus is not there, when that light isn't shining, actually our lights come from somewhere else. And we make do with lights, don't we? We make do with worldly lights. Sometimes we should shut ourselves away in a dark place so that only the light of Jesus comes. So next one. That's the priest at the altar of incense offering prayers, and he was praying. This is the high priestly garments, you know, these amazing costume he wore. And on the front were those 12 stones, each one for the 12 precious stones, denoting the 12 tribes of Israel. And there were many features of his dress, which is so interesting. If we go forward again, and in that outer place, there was also a table of showbread we spoke about, which is Jesus said, I am the bread of life. All of this speaks of Jesus. It's actually all about Jesus. Revealed, this Old Testament stuff revealed, the truth of it revealed in Jesus. And we go on to the next line. I've got an old book. This is a lithograph from 1880 or something. But it's an artist's impression again. But you know what's interesting about this is, you know, the tabernacle in later years, the same pattern was used for the temple. And at the time of Jesus' death in Jerusalem, the same sort of pattern would have been happening in the temple. And at the time when Jesus died, at that hour in the afternoon, was the hour when a priest would have been offering incense in front of that veil, that amazing veil which separates out the final bit of the tabernacle, which is the Holy of Holies, the most holy place. And when Jesus died, that thing was split. And a way was made into the Holy of Holies. And there, that's an artist's impression of the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat. But we go on a bit further. And that final one is, on one day in the year, the old priest, the high priest, wore different clothes, went through an elaborate ritual of sacrifice, and entered the Holy of Holies, entered the final part of the tabernacle, entered the most deep place to offer sacrifice for the people. And this progression, which I've just very quickly described, is what the journey we've been on. And we've called it the journey of worship. But we're getting to the heart of worship this morning, which is in the deepest place in our hearts is a place which kind of corresponds to this sense of the Holy of Holies. A place where God has done his deepest work in us. And it's so good to find ways of coming back to the heart of worship. Coming back into the Holy of Holies with Jesus. Now, Phil's going to take over from me. This is very interesting, but God brings people to places for purposes. And I think Phil's come to Witten for a purpose. All his experience of life in South Africa leading to this moment. So it's really lovely to introduce you. And I think God's spoken something which we need to hear. So I'm going to hand over to Phil. And at this point, we'll ask the younger children. So if you're creche and bubbles, hope you've enjoyed the pictures. But we'll see you a bit later on. And I'm going to hand over to Phil.
Okay, good morning, everybody. you're in the right place. People that's staying at home because of the rain, they're going to miss out big time this today. I'm going to go straight into this. When Gordon asked me to talk about the Holy of Holies, I thought, you're giving the best part to me. Because that is actually the best part. Because that relates more to us. It's not a ritual. It's something that's alive. Now, God was in this Holy of Holies. He was alive. I mean, once a year, the high priest could go in there. But you know what? He could never look up. The glory of God was so big in this place, he had to look down. He couldn't look up. And the only thing he could do is he could take the blood and go sprinkle it onto that part, that Holy of Holies, the mercy seat that he could spring and ask for forgiveness so that God can forgive their sins for that year, so that they can have another year with God's blessing. So that they can be relieved of the sin that they committed the past year. And that their sins will be forgiven for the next coming year. And you know what magnificent happened? The bad thing about this was only one guy could go into the presence of God. One guy. And only once a year. That's bad. Everybody could see the presence of God because they saw the light. They saw the cloud, but they could never experience the presence of God. They could never experience it themselves. The high priest is the only person that had that glimpse. You know what? When Jesus died, he did something wonderful. That veil tore. And that opened it up for anybody and everybody. You know how wonderful that is? You know what it cost God to do that? He gave his son, his only son, to do that so that all of us could benefit from that. The most gracious act that anybody can ever do. God gave that so that we can be set free. I'm going to, the years passed on and we get into where Saul is king and he sinned against God and he went into war and he lost his life. And you know what happened? The enemies took the ark of God, this mercy seat where the cherubs are covering, and they took that and they took it as bait. They took it as the prophet. And they were actually, the Bible said they were blessed. While the Ark of the Covenant was with the enemy were blessed. And David realized this. And David said, no, that's not how it works. 2 Samuel 6, David took 30,000 of his best men. He didn't take all his men. He took 30,000 of his best men. And he went to recover the Ark. He got it. And with that, he brought all the instruments and things that he can get to play music. Because this is a happy occasion. God is coming back into the nation. The ark is coming back into the nation. And they were partying. They were having a party and they were dancing and they were playing music because the ark is coming back. But you know what? He did something wrong. He put the ark on a wagon. If you look, if you can remember those pictures, the ark has got two poles. And the ark is supposed to be carried. It's supposed to be carried. What they did wrong was that they put the ark on this wagon. And they went off. And they're still partying and they were happy and playing music. And there were two priests accompanying this wagon. One was riding in the front, the other one was walking next to it. The guy walking next to his name, next to it, his name was Uzzah. Now, this wagon went, and at this stage, it looked like one of the ox were, one of the cows or whatever it was carrying, looked like he was stumbling. And Uzzah, he was concerned. And what he did was, he put his hand against the ark to prevent it from falling. And you know what God did to him? Killed him. He killed him. You know what? That shows me. God is not looking for your intentions. Because if you think of it, his intention was, I want to preserve this. I don't want this to fall and break. He had a good intention. Yet, he died. God is not looking for your intentions. He's not looking for your works. Because that was a work. He wanted to protect him. God does not need your protection. He does not need your works. God wants your heart. Because in your heart, you can't do anything. You don't deserve anything. We don't deserve anything from God. Everything He do for us is by grace. Everything He do for us is because we don't deserve it. Then we can't boast in that. It's not what I have done. It's not what you have done. But it's all what God has done. You know what happened? David got the fright of his life. He got scared. And he said, no, 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 no. I don't want this ark in my life, not in my house. And he said, there's a guy, Obed-Edom. Obed-Edom, the ark is going to stand by your house. You're going to look after it. And you know what? Obed must obey. I mean, he doesn't have a say. He's king spoken. 3 months after that, David got a message. You know what is happening to Obed? He's being blessed. He's being blessed. Everything around him, all his possessions, everything that he's got is being blessed. His family is being blessed. Why? Because God is in his house. David realized this. And he said, wow, I've done something wrong. I'm missing the blessings of God because God is not in my house. How can I reign a kingdom? How can I rule a kingdom if God is not in my house? How can I be a blessing to my family if God is not in my house? He did something. He said, okay, we're going. We go get the ark. And this time he did it right. You know what he did? Say, okay, let's pick up the ark. They pick up the ark and say, okay, let's go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, stop. Put down the ark. Now, we do a sacrifice. We bring an ox and a fatling, and we put it on the fire, and we're going to sacrifice this before we go anywhere. David realized there's something that needs to be done in his life. He has to do a sacrifice. You know what? We have to do a sacrifice. We've got so much issues in our lives. God has spoken to us about unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is something that you have to sacrifice. If you've got something in your life, it doesn't matter what it is. If you've got illness, sickness in your body, if you've got financial problems, if you've got an addiction, doesn't matter if it's drugs or alcohol or smoking or gambling, it doesn't matter what it is. You need to sacrifice that. Because that is keeping you away from being from God being in your house. God give you His blessings. And that's what he did. And with that, when David went to fetch this ark the second time, you know what he wore? He put on priest clothes. He knew he has to do this. He knew he has to put on his priestly clothes. And then what he did is when they were sacrificing this, he started to dance. And he danced. And he danced. And every 6 meters, every six steps they go, they do a sacrifice. And he danced. And he danced. And he danced. You know what happened with his clothes? It fell off. He was naked. You know what God wants you to be? He wants you to be naked. He wants you to be clear. When Adam and Eve was were there in the garden before they sinned, they didn't have clothes on. They were naked. God could have fellowship with them because there was nothing keeping them from God. When they sinned, God asked, "Where are you?" Man, why would God ask this? God can see anything. He is almighty. Why will he ask, "Where are you?" He couldn't see them because of sin. They knew it. That's why they had to cover themselves. All these issues preventing us from being naked before God, to have that fellowship, to have that blessing that is actually ours. It's our inheritance. Jesus died on the cross so that we can have that inheritance. And we're giving it away. It's because we're holding on to issues that is not ours. David knew that. And you know what? David went to his palace and he wanted to bless his family. He got to his wife, Micah. And Micah said to him, "You know what? You made a spectacle of yourself. I saw you. I stood here and I looked down and you were naked. Do you know what your people that you're ruling, you know what they think of you? How can you do this? I mean, these people that work for you, they saw you. How can you do this?" David said, "I want to be a blessing." And you know what? He didn't say anything bad towards her. He blessed her. But you know what God did? He made her barren. She never had children. What you speak is going to determine whether you have life or death. I'm going to read you this passage. It's in Proverbs 18, verse 20 and 21 says this: "A man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth and with the consequences of his words. He must be satisfied whether good or evil. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it, for death or life." Those are strong, strong, strong words. You know what? We rob ourselves from blessings because we speak out death over ourselves. We pray for healing in our bodies, and then there's a symptom that says, I feel this pain. But God has actually healed you, and all you need to do is say, "God has healed me, God has healed me, God has healed me." And if the devil tells you, "But there's pain in your body, and he's working in your mind to take you away from the blessing," then you must say, "God is my blessing, God is my blessing, he is my ruler, I am standing with him, all he gave to me is blessings, blessings, blessings. He never cursed me with any sicknesses, he never told me, you will suffer and you will, because Jesus suffered. All he did was, he gave you blessing." We need to take our blessing. We need to change the way we think. Because the way we think, and that's why we must pray, "God, open the light of my heart, so that the eyes in my heart, so that eyes in my heart can see, and not what my physical eyes see." Because my physical eyes can't see what's in the spiritual realm. Everything that happens in the natural happens first in the spiritual. When you realize that God has done something for you in the spirit, then it needs to come through into your natural being. And to do that, you need to speak out the faith. You need to realize God is in control. It doesn't matter what the situation. Trouble will come. Situations will come. Illnesses will come. But you know what? You are the overcomer. You are the victor. Nothing can stand before God. And if I say that, if I speak that, my ears hear that, I speak out faith and my ears hear it and hear it, and then you know what happens? My heart starts to believe it. And I start to walk in that faith. I start to walk in that victory. It is mine. It is mine. A promise from God. Inheritance He gave us. We need to take it. Make it our own. I'm going to read you this last bit. Ephesians. If you can, and go do this, maybe for you for a home study, go and read the book of Ephesians. It's a magnificent book. It's first going to tell you, in the first book, it's going to tell you about the blessings of God and how you are blessed and what you are actually. And what God wants. Through this mercy seat, God wants you to be like Him. He wants you to do the things that He has done. He's created you in His image. When Jesus died on the cross, He gave God's image back to us. God is in my house. You know what the temple of the Lord is? Who are the temple? We are. We are the temple of the Lord. Where is God? In the temple of the Lord. Now, if God is in my house, there can be no darkness. We don't need to keep the light on anymore. We don't need to do something to get God's grace. We don't need to keep this light flickering because the Holy Spirit does it. Nothing we do is going to make you deserve anything from God. You can't do anything to get His blessing. You need to receive it. That's all. That's what Jesus did. Do you know the angels that are protecting this mercy seat? We actually prayed on it on Wednesday night, Psalm 91. God's angels will protect you. You can pray it. It will be like that. I can definitely vouch for that because ever since when we were younger, we were in a lot of car accidents. Not by us, by our own fault. But then God told me, you know what? You need my protection. And He opened this Psalm 91 for me. And He says, pray God's angels to protect over you because God has given the angels for you so that they can serve you. Wow! And then I understand why the angels are there. Because they are there for protection. They are there to protect the mercy seat. They are there for our protection. Jesus has died. He's become us. He lives in us. Now what happens? The angels are there for our protection. Ever since that day, we never had any more accidents. None. Because of God's protection. I took this and I made it my own. And God is protecting us. I can tell you of how many instances we should have been dead. We should have been in accidents. But God protected us from being there. Because of His angels that did something. We need to let God be God in our house. We need to realize, if God is in my house, man, I am great. The light shines. There's healing. There's blessings. There's prosperity. We need to do what David did. Release the things that keep you from that. That's why I said, confess your sins. Confess. And you know what? If it needs to be done every six steps to release you, then do that. But you know how you can do that? Through praise and worship. Because when you start to worship, and that's Jesus. Jesus did this for the worship. He did this so that he can have fellowship. And this old piece, then, and I'm going to read you this last two verses in Ephesians 1. I can read you. Verse 7 says, "For we have redemption, deliverance, and salvation through his blood, the remission, the forgiveness of our offenses, shortcomings, and trespasses, in accordance with the riches and the generosity of his gracious favor." That's his blessing. He has done this so that we can be blessed. He has forgiven our sins so that we can be blessed. We don't have to hold on to our sins. We don't have to hold on to our sickness. God has done it. He's taken it away. Release it. Release it. That's all you have to do. Release it. And when the devil comes, and he will tell you, but you still got pain and you still got this and your circumstances hasn't changed, then you say, it will change. It will change. It will change. God is in my house. God is in my house. I am more than a conqueror. He is my deliverer. He sets me free. And the word says, he who has been set free is free indeed. Devil is a liar. He's a cheat. Only place he can act on is in your mind. And if you keep your mind safe and open up for God, you won't have any place. Don't give him place. Every time he's there, remind him of who he is. You're a loser, man. Loser. You're a loser. You are under my feet. He's actually saying this. Listen here. Verse 22. "And he has put all things under his feet and has appointed him," and that's Jesus, "universal and supreme head of the church." The headship exercised throughout the church. This is being exercised. This is being done, man. This is not something that's just there. It's not a pie in the sky. It's not a promise. It's there. It's being exercised. We read about it. You know what? When the disciples went and they said, "Silver and gold do I not have, but what I've got I give to you. Stand up and walk. I give you God's grace. I give you God's blessing. Wherever you go, I'm telling you now that when you're at work, God's blessing will bless everybody around you in that work. Your job is going to be prosperous. Your boss is going to think, man, you are the man. You know what? The company is going to be blessed because you are there. When you're in your house is going to be blessed. When you walk into a restaurant, that restaurant is going to be blessed. Why? God is in the house. He's walking with you. And wherever you go is God's blessing. And that blessing must just go out. This last verse. "Which is his body?" He's talking about the church. The church is his body. "The fullness of him." That means everything of God. "Who fills all in all. For in that body lives the full measure of him who makes everything complete and who fills everything everywhere with himself." That is a great verse. He fills everything everywhere with himself. How does he do that? Through you. This guy, yeah. Because where you are, God is. And where you are, God's blessings is. We need to take that. We need to realize that. What we're going to do now is we're going to do that first act. We're going to take up the offering. Gary, going to please ask you to help us just to take up the offering. And Joan, please, the reason why I'm asking these two guys, you know what we're going to do? Is you're going to take your money, you put it in your hand. If you don't have money, don't worry. What you're going to do now is you're going to take that worry, that thing that keeps you from God, that is preventing you from getting naked before God so God can see you clearly so that you can have fellowship with Him. Now, don't think of your child or your mother, your father or your wife, your husband. Don't think of them. Think now of yourself. God wants to give you His blessing. This morning is about you. He wants to set you free. He wants to get you in a place where you can worship Him, where He can have fellowship with you, where there is no more blockages. I want you to take that thing that you've got and you put it in your hand. And when this bag comes past you, you put it in. Do you understand what I say? You're giving away that trouble, that sickness, unforgiveness, that thing that blocks you, keeps you away from God. Do you know what it is? The Holy Spirit is talking to you now. Take that. And when this bag comes past, do not let this bag pass you if you haven't done that. Take that. Put it in. Release it. When we're going to start doing the worship, we're going to praise God. We're going to bless God. We're going to say to God, You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. And Father, that thing that I've given you in that bag, Father, I confess it now. With my mouth, I give it to you. Now you've done a double act. You've done the work. God does not want actually the work. All He wants is your heart. But that is an act of faith. That is you telling God, this is what I give you now. I'm giving you all my sorrows. I'm giving you all my hurt. I'm giving you all my unforgiveness. I'm giving you, Father, everything that was stolen from me. I'm giving you that. So that God's blessing can come over me. So that I can experience God's blessing today. Do you understand? Did you hear the Spirit this morning? Did you understand His word? Do you know that it's good for you? Do you know it's good for you? I don't hear it. Do you know it's good for you? You know what amen means? Amen is so is it, so be it in my life. We need to speak up. If there's a blessing, we need to grab it. We say, amen, 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 it's mine. I'm going to take it. Every time there's a blessing, I'm going to say, amen. Because you know what? God sees that. Because amen means I talk by faith. I want to receive this. And God says, whoa, there's it. You want a blessing? I'm going to give it to you. I'm in your house. There you are. Take that. That's for you. And you know what? He's giving it more and more and more, more than what you can think of. The word says it's impressed. It's impressed. It's running over. It's falling over. You can't handle it. Do you want that? Wow, I want it. Amen. Okay, we're not going to sing a song when we take up the offering. The reason why I ask these two gentlemen is because you look at them, their stature is, they're strong. They will be able to handle these bags. It's going to be heavy bags. It's going to be heavy bags. You know what? They're strong in faith as well. That's the reason why I asked them. So you can pour in. If you need to put in two hands, put in two hands. But do that faith this morning. And when we start to praise and worship, give it by mouth. Talk it. Speak it out. Let it go. Let it go. Be set free. Be set free. You know what? When that goes, God can put something else in. When you release that, God puts something else in. He replaced that with something good. We need to take it. From now on, you are going to be blessed. I proclaim it. I speak it out over your life. You will be blessed. In every circumstances, illnesses, sicknesses will run away from you. I don't care if it's in your body. I don't care if it's there. I don't care if there's pain in it. Man, God has healed you. God has delivered you. God has set you free. Realize that today. Let's give Him an offer of sacrifice. Then we're going to give Him an offer of praise. You know what, I was in a congregation where we gave offer and praise, and at the stage, the Holy Spirit worked so much. You know, we saw husbands and wives, they took each other and they danced in front of everybody. They'd waltz before God. They did the cha-cha, they did the disco, they did everything before God. You know what? He doesn't care. God looks at you. He knows you. He knows who you are. You don't have to do that. Maybe that's not who you are. But God wants you to be who you are. He wants you to be delivered. He wants you to be you. Man, if you jump for joy, then do that. If you want to come and stand on your knees before God, do that. If you want to lie in front of God, do that. But do what is you. Don't be a Micah and stand and look at the window and make judgment. God is looking at you this morning. You know what the Bible says? David actually danced with violence. With violence. How else will he dance himself out of clothes? Man, that's wild. You know what? It's not what people think of you. It's not what people say of you. It does not matter. David realized this. He took the blessings and he made the blessings for himself. He realized, God is in my house. Why did God say, David, a man after my own heart? If we read in the Psalms, all the Psalms David sang, it's songs of victory. He was never down and out. And even when he felt that, he still said, I am giving God glory. I am giving Him praise. I worship Him because you know what? When I am in the valley of death, He will take me out. Take that for you this morning. Take that for you this morning. Give up everything that's a hindrance in your way. Everything that blocks you. Everything that's a stumble block, put it this morning in here. Give it to God. Okay, this what you're giving this morning is for God. Do that act of faith. The next act of faith we're going to do is we're going to worship God. We're going to release the Holy Spirit in your lives. Because that's what's going to happen. David, you know how long it must have taken that ark to get into David's house? Because every six steps, they put it down, and then they first offer an ox and a fatling. And all the time, David was dancing. All that time, David was worshiping God. We need to do that. We need to block out the stuff from the world. We need to think what we're listening to in the world. What do we impart into our lives? Do we impart God into our lives, or do we impart the darkness of the world into our lives? Do we listen to all the negative things in the world, or do we listen to all the positive things God gives? Let's open our minds. Okay, let's close our eyes. We're going to close your eyes so you can't see the person next to you. Don't worry about what he's going to do, what he's going to give. If he puts one hand into the bag, if he puts two hands into the bag, doesn't matter. This is now between you, you and God. Let's do this now. And when this bag comes past you, say, thank you, Lord. I'm giving this away now.
Do you know, I feel something. I feel this is freedom. Moments of freedom.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So I just want to really encourage anyone who feels that they are facing bad things in their life at the moment. They feel persecuted, they feel poor in spirit, anything like that. God's blessings don't necessarily mean that bad things are going to stop happening to us. But God's blessings give us the courage and the strength to face these things through God's love and through Christ's redemption. So if any of you are feeling like that, I just want to really encourage you to not give up and to keep going.
Just feel that to sing the refrain that from a song that really helped me during my pregnancy with the boys after losing Isaac, and it's just about declaring that we don't need to be slaves to fear anymore. So amen. I just want to sing this refrain to you a few times, and hopefully you can learn it, and then you can sing it at home, as Phil was saying, just so powerful to speak out and sing out. I'm no longer a slave to fear, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear, I am a child of God.